Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, well.
No music? Sing for us, David. Sing for us.
No, you don't want that to happen.
Dude,
if there's the music is going, I don't hear it, though. That's kind of crazy.
I don't hear it either.
I want to welcome people that are listening to The Man's Voice. Sorry we didn't have music. We are look like we have some little problems here, and we'll work them out, but we still got show. I'm looking at the monitor, and the monitor is just playing music all over the place. But anyway,
it just shows that we're a real live show.
It does that for sure. But anyway, I want to welcome everyone and say, you know, welcome to The Man's Voice here on this Sunday afternoon. It's 6:01, and welcome to my panel. I want to start off the show. I mean, there's so many things going on. There's so many politics going on, and I would like to kind of stay away from a lot of political talk, but we kind of can't because that's where it just seems everyone, the press, and everyone is talking about things. And the newest thing is, okay, I've never heard of this. I think it's weird that the president is threatening the Democrats to shut down the government if they don't follow his policy on the wall and immigration. You know, there are over 700 kids still in custody that haven't been reunited with their families, but I've never heard of a president trying to shut down the government if people don't do it, if the Congress doesn't and the Senate doesn't do what he wants to do. So, Bruce, you and I were just talking. Don't you think that's strange?
Well, I don't think that's the take I get is, sure, he wants the wall. He wants that security. But that's not the issue he's trying to force. He's trying to force that, look, guys, vote on it. I can't make you vote anyway. You know, you're going to vote the way you want to vote. But if I have to shut the government down to force this issue, one side or the other, he's kind of saying, I might do that. And we all know he might do that. And,
but
of course,
isn't he saying that if the Democrats don't vote for my policy, I'm going to shut down the government? It isn't that we want you to vote. It's that we want you to vote for what I want. So isn't that what he's saying?
I didn't get that impression.
What about you, Don? What impression did you get?
Yeah, I heard what you said, and for the past 2 years, all I've heard is, we're going to build the wall. And who's going to pay for the wall? Well, wait a minute. Now you want us to pay for the wall, right? After 2 years saying Mexico is going to pay for the wall. And then Mexico told him, you crazy. We're not paying for anything. I mean, come on. Really?
So he's going to shut down the government. He's going to not pay people. And if you're an employee in Washington, D.C., you have to, you know, I would be concerned about my job all the time. There's just always something going on about my job. What about Ron? What do you think about that? Hello, Ron. We were just talking.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Oh, sorry. I had it on mute. I haven't heard that specifically. I've been trying to stay away from politics as much as I can because it's just too, you know, too time consuming. And last night I got into another argument with one of my brothers, and it's not worth it. But if what you say is true, that he's saying that if the Democrats don't vote for the wall, then that's teetering on the brink of a dictatorship. And, you know, obviously we're a democratic country, so I don't know that he can do that. I don't see how it would be possible for him to get away with it. I'd just like to see what happens.
All right. What about there's two sides to the argument right now. I think Bruce thinks one thing, and I think another. I'm trying to get some kind of, what about you, Frank? What do you think about the president wanting to shut down the government?
Well, I think the president's, I don't think he's a good thinker. And I think that if he shuts down the government, then it'll be on him, and it'll be a heavy burden. And I don't think he'll last long in office as a result of that.
We're getting up for midterm elections, and everyone is holding their breath because it looks like, according to all the news and all the political talk, the Democrats are gearing up to really go out after taking control. So him shutting down the government is not going to help his party. So I don't know who he listens to in his party, but because my sense is that he is telling the Democrats to vote for what I'm saying, or do you think, like Bruce is saying, that he's just telling them, let's vote one way or another?
Well, if you're speaking to me, there's more than just the wall is the issue. He wants the immigration
and
policy.
Immigration. True, yes.
In the United States, he wants that to be changed. He thinks the people that are currently being held at the border are losers. That's just about his language on that as of yesterday. All right, so he wants the policy to be changed, quote, to get smart people in the country. So it discounts all the current people that are at the border or in the country, essentially. And so it's not going to happen what he wants, but I guess it at least talks to his base and lets them know that he wants to be forceful against the other political parties.
Right.
Hey, David, help me out. I mean, I'm kind of slow, but I need some help on this.
Okay.
For past 2 years, I've heard that Mexico is going to pay for this wall. Now, I'm in the broadcast field, and I operate a lot on sound bites. And what you said, I believe, and if I were to play the tape back, who's going to pay for the wall? Mexico. Now, Mexico is not going to pay for the wall. You're asking me to pay for the wall. It seems like I'm being put in a position of believing nothing that I hear and nothing that I see. Help me out with this. I got a problem. I don't understand this. What happened to Mexico paying for the wall?
Mexico said they were not paying for the wall. They never said they were going to pay for the wall. Now there's a new president who thinks that it's a big joke. Under the old president, he said he wasn't paying for the wall. They weren't even pitching in one penny to help with this project, although our president did say he was going to have Mexico pay for the wall, but they're saying, no, we're not.
So, hey, by the way, that was one way or the other, too.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say, David, that I think Mr. Trump in some way, shape, or form or fashion thinks that Mexico is paying for the wall or will pay for the wall in some way. Maybe not directly, but indirectly is what I'm thinking. But that's just, you know, to me, telling the masses that he's going to build a wall. And, you know, I know people that voted for him, and that was one of the primary reasons they voted for him. And now, you know, that's a promise that wasn't kept, in my opinion.
But you're saying Mexico, he thinks that Mexico will some way or another pay for the wall. We're paying for the wall because his tariffs on Mexico are causing them to raise the prices. We have products in the United States right now sitting on the ground because there's no one to pick them up. There's no one to pick it or bring it to the stores. So
well, I heard
it looks like we're paying for it.
I don't know if this rumor or not. I don't know if this is a rumor or not, but I heard just yesterday that Mexico is now willing to negotiate or renegotiate with the United States in terms of trade and tariffs and all of that. So I don't know if you've heard that, I don't know if it's true or not, but that's.
I heard that, Ron. I heard that.
I heard that too. But to renegotiate was let's bring it, let's put it back on the table, and let's try to work through it. Yeah. Isn't saying that they're going to agree with the way we're projecting. They're saying let's come to the table and discuss it. It doesn't say they're agreeing to anything.
Whether you agree with Trump or not, isn't that ultimately the way he always thinks he can have the upper hand? Is I'm going to force people to renegotiate, get in a room, figuratively speaking, talk about it, dialogue it, force whatever action words you want to use, and that he'll win overall at the end. I think that's what he's doing all the time. I think he's always doing that.
He's
blowing smoke.
A great negotiator. I'm a great negotiator, but I haven't seen him do anything good lately. He didn't work. Work for him in North Korea. Go ahead,
right.
Frank. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I think he's just blowing smoke. I don't think he can actually negotiate a deal that would be better than the deals that we already have. He might be able to get away with that in Mexico. I mean, not in Mexico, but in China. But I think he's just blowing smoke. I think he wants to, you know, basically bring everybody to a halt and then renegotiate a deal. And if he renegotiates, I do not expect that deal to be better, because I don't think you can push these countries around. I think they have us almost by the gonads, because the only option we have is to raise our prices and, you know, pay $30 for a baseball cap when we can buy it for a dollar, you know, somewhere else.
Right.
So I think that this is just, you know, this is the neighborhood bully bluff, and I think that he's going to have an opportunity to deal with it in Mexico, Europe, and of course China, and in Russia. We're not going to get the wall.
Right.
Yeah.
The NAFTA agreement that we had was in place. It was pretty well. Everyone agreed to it and signed it. That's what Mexico
Canada
wants to bring back to the table. Oh yeah, Canada. Canada doesn't even care about us anymore. They're like they're billboards inviting people to come live in Canada. they're wanting to take our people. All right,
that's a pretty good option.
I know. Let's go into. We talked about tariffs a little bit, but I think we're about to start seeing the outcome of the tariffs. I mean, according to media, the steel companies are now doing better or something. I'm not sure exactly how that's going. But my understanding, though, prices on regular products are about to take a big leap higher. So I don't know if this tariff piece is going to last long, or let me just ask someone, what do you think, like Don, tell me about your thoughts on these tariffs, because I think it's about that time now for them to start hitting us in return with pricing, and I've noticed in news the pricing is about to jump up, and the one thing that I think is really about to take a big jump is gasoline pricing, which we are already where I am hitting the $3 mark. I would say places like California probably, I think, are already there. But we don't need a $5 gallon tariff going on. What do you think, Don?
I think he made a big mistake. Like I heard somebody say, the bully has picked a fight that he can't win. We're going to see the fallout of the tariffs within the next 2 to 3 months, and already he's talking about putting money aside for the farmers because they're complaining that their funds are dwindling and they're not able to move product, but yet and still they can get a loan from the government. My God, you know, he picked a fight that I don't think we can win. I don't think he should have done that, and it's going to be really, really tough going into this midterm election.
really tough on Republicans, right? Go ahead, Ron.
It's so interesting that we're talking about this just at the moment, because I've got on the background Telemundo, which is a Spanish language network, on, and they were just talking about the price of Coca-Cola going up because of the tariffs on aluminum. So I hadn't heard that. So I guess we're all, you know, we better buckle up, because things are gonna get more expensive, and I don't see my salary going up to compensate for that.
I saw in the newspaper today where they're saying Coca-Cola is going to go up to cost you double the price that you get it for now, or maybe even more.
It may become like Europe, where a Coca-Cola is more expensive than beer.
Yes, that's what they're saying. That's going to happen. But are we winning? I want to stay in the middle on this. I'm trying my best to stay neutral. It's hard, very hard to stay neutral, because I can see men across the United States suffering because of these things happening, and they don't have money to support, or the quality of life they have now is going to hurt them a little bit. So I'm concerned that these policies are not for the middle and lower classes. What do you think, Bruce? Because I think you're a little more think that it might work out. So tell me, how do you think that might happen?
Well, a couple of things. The thing I've yet to hear from the Republicans or the Democratic side of the legislature is everybody's talking about is if they try to make the balance a little more, a little fairer or a little more equal, or whatever terminology you want to use, then we get hurt at home. And that's, I think that's real. I think that's true. And some of you have just talked about that. But what I never hear is, okay, then what do? You want it to stay the way it is right now? Most people are going to say no, they don't. So what the supposedly smart people on both sides are supposed to be doing is get together and say, okay, if the only way, let's just say, for example, the only way to really make this work right is to push for no tariffs. Nobody assesses any tariffs. Well, if that's the best way out of this, then they ought to be showing us and the public, both sides, all kinds of people, that that's what they're pushing for. We're not seeing that. I never hear anybody give an answer as to, do you want it to stay the way it is right now? I don't. It's not fair in some regards to the U.S. We're the patsy. We're the ones that have been giving a lot. Some of it's unfair. Some of it's not. Some of it we've brought on ourselves. But what is wrong with trying to get it somewhat fairer, if not equal, fairer than it is right now? And nobody ever offers any solutions.
Well, let me answer.
Fairer. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, let me answer part of that question right there. All right. I think the situation we're in as a nation, if you think it's a bad situation, personally, you know, I can go and buy clothing every day very inexpensively, more inexpensively than I ever have. And that's because that clothing is not manufactured in the United States of America. We as a nation are not a hurting nation. All right. We are a consuming nation, but we have the ability to continue to grow. Now, Henry Kissinger went into China. We opened the China thing, and China hasn't changed prior to that or after that very much. They were a communist nation then who copyrighted everything and used other people's copyrights, and they still do it right today. But the reason why I think we went over there is because they have 1 billion people, and we as American entrepreneurs wanted to be in that market so we could sell them stuff. So our country has failed, and the problem, I think, is not in the tariffs, because you're going to always have the Soviet Union providing tariffs. You're going to always have the Chinese providing tariffs to those industries that they're promoting. But I think the problem is us as a nation not going to a higher level of manufacturing than ink pens, okay? And so our people have failed to do that.
and we don't have those industries. When we get engaged with manufacturing technology items and producing those items in our country, I think that we will be fine. But I don't think we're going to win a war with these commodities that we're talking about. And that's what he's talking about, is commodities. And there's some of them are old commodities, and I'll namely and lastly, you know, is oil.
One of the things about being able to produce these commodities is you got to have people that know how to do it, and we kind of took that out of the school, so you don't learn, you don't have a desire to get into that field because you don't know anything about it. I mean, it's...
Yeah, we walked the knowledge. We walked the knowledge. We taught people in India and in China how to do this manufacturing that we're consuming.
Right. That's right. What do you think about this, Jeremiah? You've been quiet today.
Yeah, I'm really quiet today.
Yeah, you are. So do you, let me give you a question.
I just can't
wait
for the next topic. That's what it is.
Let me ask you this question, though. Do you think that people in your age category and below know how to – there are people there who know how to – create things that aren't IT, outside of IT. Do you think your age knows how to work on cars? Can they change tires anymore?
Yes, we are engineers. Yes, I believe so.
Okay, you're engineers, but are you the guys who put the radios and the pieces together? You can design them.
Yes,
I would say yes. You're good at designing, but are you good at manufacturing them?
You got to remember.
And if you're saying you are, where are you learning this? Because I don't know the schools, or I don't know vocational classes are around anymore. I mean, I do know that they teach auto mechanics, you know, at certain places, but I don't see wood shop and all those. I don't see.
We're talking about automobiles. So let's just say, who taught the guys how to do tints on your vehicle, like the tinted windows? You know, that's a skill, honestly. It's probably not a high-paid skill, but we are learning these things and mastering these things. And, you know, where it comes to putting a radio in, changing brakes, or, you know, tinted windows, you know, auto body, auto mechanics, of course you have schools for that, technical schools for that. But there's a lot of things out here that you learn on your own, you know.
There are those people that kind of have it as a hobby, you're saying, rather than people that are learning it for jobs and skills.
Yeah, it's more of a hobby or a forced upon job that you learn how to do and you stick with it because it's making you the means to take care of your family or yourself. It's not a highly sought after job or responsibility thing there. Maybe you're put in that position, you know?
Let me ask you this question. Do you hear among people your age and below a desire to learn these things?
I wouldn't say a desire, but I always look at it, if you had that on your, not your resume, let's just say, but if you had that under your table, as far as being a man, that's a plus. You know what I mean? That's something that you can do for yourself that you can say, you know what, I don't have to pay someone to do this. I can do it myself. It's like a guy, like say mowing your lawn. It's not a trade or somewhere you go and learn how to do it. If you can mow your own lawn and buy your own equipment, you're good to go. You can save yourself, you know, a couple thousand bucks a year if you have the free
time.
But I think
there's a disconnect because I'm trying to ask you the question, do you feel that your generation – is able to carry on at this country at a level to keep the country if we brought manufacturing back in this country, there are enough people to man these jobs productively?
Of course. I believe so, yes. There's
and where are they learning this from?
Well, you got to have the teachers and the trainers. It starts with because even a person that learns how to change out a radio, he doesn't just watch. Probably nowadays you can watch YouTube and do it because there's so much IT with things you can learn how to do. I've learned how to do things through YouTube.
So, like I said, you do have you would need those trainers.
Oh, YouTube is the new
teacher. Yeah, it is technically. It is.
So you're saying
even with mechanics,
that these things
YouTube is doing it.
So kids are learning through YouTube how to do all these things, and if someone had to go work on a car and change a carburetor, all they have to do is go to YouTube to learn?
Yes. There's a guy out there that has kids. He has his kids. He has his son. His son's like 8, 9 years old, and he has videos on YouTube of his son, you know, how he's teaching his son how to change brakes and everything.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Ron, what do you think about this conversation that Jeremiah is saying that they don't need teachers. They have computers to teach them how to do these things. What do you think?
We're definitely different generations, but I don't disagree. In fact, I agree because I turn to YouTube for anything and everything that I need to figure out how to do, even from cooking to putting something together. You can find it on YouTube or somewhere. If you Google it, you'll find it. So,
Go ahead, Bruce.
Ron and Jeremiah, even if you go to the YouTube, isn't that another form of teaching? Isn't there a warm body, supposedly, usually, on the other end of that line that is teaching? Maybe not a traditional teacher in a classroom, but you're being taught a solution to something you asked about. And I got to tell you, I agree. We do need a lot more vocational skill type classes, and I'm starting to hear that becoming more and more of a topic. But I was just at my university a little while ago, and I went to Michigan Tech up in, you know, sequestered up in the UP of Michigan, and the university were 6,500 people, or students. They're not very many, but I got to tell you, from every corner of the globe, there are students that are working in labs, and I mean, they're just burning the midnight oil, smoke coming out of every classroom, figuring out things to do and how to solve problems. I mean, they've got national money up the wazoo to solve a lot of these problems. And so I don't think the universities are, in a lot of ways, the good ones, are not inspiring our students. They are inspiring them, but we've got too many that are going into the social norm of, let me tell you what you should be thinking versus let me teach you a skill. They're supposed to be teaching us skills and problem solving and things like that, and we've got more and more universities don't seem to think that's number one priority anymore.
Okay, I want to bring this back to we as fathers, when our sons are coming up, I don't know that we are teaching. It used to be a time when you as a child, especially a male child, job was to stand next to your father while he fixed the car and held the flashlight, or he fixed the electrical outlets, or he knew how to change the fuses. Is that still going on? Jeremiah, in your world, do you still see that happening, fathers teaching sons?
I mean, I wish it's happening on a large scale like it used to. But now I would say more of fathers letting their son actually do the work instead of holding the flashlight, which I think is a little bit better. You always want to teach your son or grandson to be a doer, not just to like assist in a soft manner, you know, just holding the flashlight. You know, now we got, I mean, if it's not like some heavy duty stuff, you know, get involved. And that teaches your son or grandson how to get involved with not just something mechanical, with other things in their life. I think so.
Let me ask some people with grandkids I know that are in their lives, like Don, and your grandson, How do you think he's going to learn to do all the things you know how to do? Do you teach them, or do you think that YouTube is the tool that they're going to use?
David, I'm a strong believer in mentorship. The best way to do anything is to find someone that's doing or know how to do what you want to do. and then having the ability to listen to them. That's mentorship. It's always worked. It worked before YouTube. We need a practical application. And the way to do that is to communicate. Mentorship, you know, it's a relationship where the experienced person with more knowledge teaches the less experienced person how to do something. And that will never fade out. And that works. My father mentored me. And I've learned through life and learned through the successful experience that I have now to find professionals in the business, in doing what I want to do, and find someone that I can listen to and be mentored. I mean, that's the way we got to do it.
All right. Frank, I know that you also have grandkids that are you're in their lives. What do you have to say about this conversation?
Well, I agree with Don. You know, I specifically retired from a possible third or fourth career just so that I can be there to mentor my grandchildren. So, you know, it's a joy, and we're working on A to Z, you know, anything from basic counting to reading, vocabulary, and we'll do the technology things. They see me repair a lot of things, and I use YouTube a lot as well. But, you know, and I've also been to shop classes in school. So although I wasn't a great shop student, you know, I got an average handicap for doing that type of work. So I think the problem, though, that we're trying to flip things around from the type of educational systems we have, which, by the way, are the world's best. The top universities are the ones that we have in the United States. But the problem is that not a lot of people in the United States want to work in low-wage job areas. So, you know, a lot of technology things are either too technical for us because we don't have enough reading capability and understanding capability. That's one issue, because even in the Navy 20 years ago, they stopped letting people repair broken items. They basically just take the broken item and replace it, just like we do cell phones. When your cell phone breaks, they give you a used one, and then they take it back to a technical shop that has the ability to do it. So I think that's our conundrum, is that we don't, one, have the reading capability to do highly technical work, and two, is we don't want to work for low wages.
All right. Let's bring this to a close, but one thing I want to continue is we ended the conversation last week talking about mentoring, and Don just brought up mentoring again, and I just want to get back to, we didn't really, I think, conclude with, because the questions we were ending up with last week were, if someone, a young man, called you and asked you where would he find someone to help him or mentor him, we kind of left that open. Don, we left with you talking about, do you want to bring that back and kind of answer that question now you had some time to think about it?
Well, I just think that it's a necessary of life, David. It's a two-way street. First of all, one must find out, you know, who they are, who am I, and what should I be doing? And when you answer those two questions, those are two key questions that you need to know before you even seek out a mentor. You know, who am I? Don Wiggins. What should I be doing on earth? And, you know, and if you don't know, then you need to ask the Creator. And he'll tell you. And then once you find that out, those two questions, like I said, find somebody that's doing what you want to do, and it's a two-way street. Listen, because a lot of young men that I've mentored, they ended up teaching me some things. You know, it's a two-way street. So I think that's so important, and we as leaders, I want to say, let me correct that, we as real leaders, there's a difference in leaders and real leaders. We as real leaders, we need to get back to mentorship.
But let me ask you this question, because there are a lot of young men in today's society who were raised in single family, mostly by women, and they don't know they need a mentor because they haven't heard good things about men most of their lives. How does a young man know that he needs some help if he's listening to this conversation? What would you say to a young man who's just out there going around in circles, doesn't know, but he knows he wants better, but he doesn't know he needs
David, I'm gonna keep it real short and sweet because you know I'm very direct. I don't think women can mentor men. I don't think women can mentor men. Women need to mentor women. A woman can't teach a boy how to pee.
And that was my point, though. Most men who were raised by women, I mean, not all of them. Some of them are very good at it, but some of them are not very good at it. They're raised to be the man of the house, which is wrong in the beginning, but they don't know they need male help. How does a young man, how would you tell a young man who you find out there lost in the world that this is what he needs? What do you say to him? For those of us that
would say,
that know these people.
Well, like I said a few moments ago, I was short and blunt, but a woman can't teach a boy how to pee. a young man has got to learn that he needs another young man to show him how to be a man. And that's the key right there. I mean, I can't be a girl.
Right. Okay, so, Ron, why don't you answer that, help with this question. You in Miami find, you know, a young guy going in circles, and you want to just say you need to find somebody to help you out. Is that a good way of going about it? I don't know how to explain it more than that. Can you help me out?
Well, I agree with Don. Actually, I think mentorship is a good thing. Growing up, I didn't. My dad wasn't a mentor because he was absent a lot due to his work, and so. For my two brothers and me, my mom basically raised us, so we didn't have that. But I agree with Don. I think there is some positivity to having a male mentor a young man, and vice versa. And I don't think anybody in their right mind would disagree with that. Now, if there's a young man out there that's lost and doesn't have that kind of person to turn to. There's always avenues, there's always somebody at school that they can talk to. There's, maybe it's an uncle, if the father's not around. But I guess your question is, how does the young man know that that's what he needs? Is that what you're asking?
Yes. Yes.
They don't. I mean, I don't think they do. I didn't know that I needed a male role model and I just grew up, and for me it was completely natural that I was most of the time with my mom, and from time to time I'd see my dad, and I don't think it made any difference in my brothers or me.
Ron,
okay.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, Bruce.
I've noticed whether it's a single family household. Female or just male, can be the other way. That single family or single gender family, that person needs to be the gatekeeper, not only the mentor on the things that they know how to mentor about, but the gatekeeper, so that let's say it's a single woman that has a young son, and like you said, how does the young son know? Well, the mother then, being the gatekeeper, needs to, if she's good at it, recognize that I need to get some male influence in his life. And I either have, as you said, an uncle, a grandfather, a good friend, a nephew, or just someone from an organization that she knows that that needs to be involved in his and her young son's life to teach the things she can't teach him from a male perspective. That's what I mean by gatekeeper.
Right. And yeah, in an ideal world, I think that would be the case. In my case, particularly, it was, you know, I guess my mom just thought that we would all get that at school. So,
yeah,
but it wasn't.
Rod, let me ask you, did you eventually find mentorship from a male?
Not really. not that I can remember. I just, I don't think I really even had a mentor. I just, I grew up, and before you know it, you know, you're 21 and you're an adult. So
If everyone kind of depended on the church to fill that role, and I'm not sure how much that works in today's society, but it used to be that I remember you would go to the church and you would ask the ministers what to do, but I don't know how do
deacon.
You brought the point up that the mother or the lady should be the gatekeeper and know this and find somebody. So Bruce, where do you tell them to go?
Well, in my situation with my grandkids, I have a granddaughter, grandson, is I will, you know, do as much as I feel I can. But if there's something like for my granddaughter that she's asked me about, and I think someone else can cover it better, I will first bring it up to her mother. And if her mother, doesn't know how to handle that or would like me to give some suggestions, I will do that. So I will recognize the need she's expressing to me and then get the parents involved. If they're not able to do it, then you go to people that you can trust that know about that, that could, you know, talk to a 10-year-old young lady or girl and possibly help address that, you know, that need or those questions. And as they say, don't answer any questions more than what they ask. Don't start telling them everything under the sun. Just answer their questions. And
David, before years ago, David, we had the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and Eagles and so forth, and programs like that gave mentorship. And they served a tremendous purpose because the product can't fix the product. I don't think the product can fix the product. And those programs were very good back then. What happened?
Yes. They're still around, but I don't think they're as popular as they once were for a number of different reasons. But, you know, you also have, because I just remembered, we used to be taken kind of by force to judo classes and Little League baseball. So, you know, I think all that comes into play in some ways.
Okay, so we're saying that mothers that are listening that are saying, where would I take my son, we're saying that look for programming, first of all, you know, like Boy Scouts or I would even say soccer class. There's a lot of soccer programs and a lot of football programs and those kinds of things. So is that what we're saying?
Well,
Jeremiah, where would you suggest? Where would you what is your skew on this topic?
I would say it depends on the child's weakness. It depends on what you're trying to target with your child. Let's just say it's discipline. It might be some form of martial arts. It might be some form of sport. Let's just say you want your son to develop a more of a helping attitude. That would be something different. It just depends on what the child needs. And it might be a different asset than what a parent already brings along in the home. To me, that's what I think. I don't think people should just, you know, and there are some general ones, general, like maybe Boy Scouts or something very general, but I don't think you got to understand your child. I want to get them a role model. Well, understand what your child problems are, weaknesses are, what he wants to be when he grow up. That can help him, because sometimes you can get him a role model, and it might be like the wrong one for him, and it turns him off. And now he don't even want a role model anymore. So, you know, I'm not saying a kid's going to have an absolute say-so, but, you know, you don't want to turn a kid off in something that's good for him, to me.
So it sounds like what you're saying is the parent needs to know the child, what they're trying to, direction they're trying to take. If it's discipline, then some kind of sports or some kind of fighting, boxing or something like that.
I mean, usually
absorb that energy.
Not boxing. Usually taekwondo, forms of karate, emphasize a lot on discipline. Not boxing.
Why are you saying not
probably
boxing?
To me, there's no discipline with boxing. Boxing is just walk up and punch, knock the person out.
Wow.
With martial arts, they teach you you're actually a physical weapon. So you might have a situation.
I'm
going to
tell you,
where
I knocked out a martial arts guy one day who was a black belt in karate. I broke his jaw. Okay, I'm a boxer. Okay.
Are you disciplined?
Well, let me just say this. I respect the martial arts people, so don't get me wrong on that, okay? But I disagree with a little bit of the conversation we just had. One of them is that you can't teach – a female can't teach a male how to urinate the way a male urinates, possibly.
Oh, that's very simple
okay?
there.
Because I have seen females teach males urination – and it looks like they're a female when they're doing it, okay? So the other thing that I have a kind of a disagreement with is this issue that the type of world we're going to or that we become is that we're now working with different genders of people in the workplace. So one of the problems with being a male is that we have a tendency to be very macho in the past. During my generation, people, and somehow we've got to learn to integrate the females into that leadership vacuum, okay? And we don't do that, I don't think, very well as civilians in a normal day-to-day business. So I would caution the value of training a young man to be old school versus a newer school which integrates the respect for females and things like that.
And let me just say something real quick.
One thing that I mentioned earlier is that instead of the parent trying to guide the child, first of all, the child must know who he is or who she is, then know what do I like? What should I be doing here on earth? Because everybody was put here for a purpose. Nobody was put here by mistake. What should Don Wiggins, what should I be doing in the earth? And no one can answer that but you. You know that better than anyone. And one thing as a parent or a mentor, you listen. Listen to what they're saying. And they'll tell you what they should be doing, and all you have to do is supply the resources to help them do that.
But
okay.
Don, if you're a five-year-old on a ball field, the only thing you're going to be interested in is playing ball. So, I mean, mentoring starts a lot sooner than
that applies
level.
At a certain age range.
That's how Willie Mays started.
Not too many Willie Mayses out there. but I wanted to add one thing I wanted to say earlier, but I did not say. I don't want us to diminish the work of mothers that they do with their children, whether it's male or, I'm going to say male or female, is boy or girl. Because I was raised by my mother alone, and I think she did a terrific job. I never had a father present to be a mentor, to do the fatherly things. But I can tell you one thing she did that probably my father couldn't teach me. She had me doing a lot of things, and I was confused. I was like, Mom, well, Mom, do you like want me to like girls or like boys? Well, because of this. She had me doing her nails. She had me doing her hair. She had me painting her nails. She had me braiding her hair. If she would have weave in or something or a sew in or something, I would cut it out and help her wash her hair. And she told me this. She said, son, you're going to be able to provide for your wife hands-on. If you can't, not that you can't afford it, but it means much more when you can actually do it for her than just give her money to send her off and do it. I think that was very important, and it taught you more of a hands-on approach for your significant other, your wife or girlfriend and stuff like that. So, and I think that's a lot of guys' problem. You know, we want to pay our way out of things or pay our way into things. Oh, hun, I need this to get done. Well, just go do it. Sometimes it means a lot much more by you doing it with them or for them. That's all I want to say.
Okay, that was interesting.
And I was young at that point. I think I was about 11, 12 years. I was pretty young, 11, 12 years old. Yeah.
Wow. So, I don't know. Okay, let's move on.
David,
I was just thinking,
on,
I could
David.
See. I could, huh?
Never mind.
What'd you say?
Nothing.
The picture in my mind of Jeremiah sitting down doing somebody's nails, I can't get it out.
I know that's where you were going.
It's fine.
That's okay.
Well, you know, in the Navy's initiation process, if you were probably a macho man, they would probably have you do something like that to make sure that you change course, you know, in the type of personality. So that's, you know, that's an important function, I think, that Jeremiah learned. And sometimes in life we have to, we have to humble ourselves. And sometimes some of us are able naturally humbled and helpful, and others of us think that position is too low. It's like washing your feet, you know, during the Easter season. You know, that's what Christ was doing, basically getting on his knees. That's what the Pope does annually, does those type of jobs that, quote, men don't normally do.
I know over the years I've heard several women who have said, if you know, a good man is someone who will wash my hair. I've heard that.
I'm here. Jeremiah is
my life. I know. I know a guy who will do it for you. I know.
Well, and us older fellas that knew of Rosie Greer, who loved to knit
right.
and crochet
right.
to relax, you don't want to be calling him not a macho man. he was a big man, big football player.
Right.
Well,
right.
I think it's okay to call him. I think it's okay to call him not a macho man. Not a macho man.
Yeah.
He
no.
A man.
No. He doesn't have to be. No.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I mean.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call him a wuss. That's for sure.
I wouldn't call him any names.
Very few people would, I think. Oh my God.
And I like to fight. And I wouldn't call him any names.
No.
All right.
Yes,
let's move on, because
I think
right about now, and a lot of men, a lot of young men, a lot of men totally around the nation are spending a lot of money on school supplies for kids. And I just want to throw out there that if you're one of those guys and you're headed to the store, I suggest you check with your school before you go out and spend a lot of money, because I've noticed on a lot of schools now, uniforms have popped up. But what I did notice here in Atlanta was everybody's buying, and all the radio stations, everybody giving out backpacks full of supplies.
Good.
And
yeah.
In the store, I see a lot of backpacks flying. But then I just read in the paper where kids will not be allowed to take backpacks in the schools unless they're clear plastic. So a lot of schools have gone over to help with all the shootings and things going on. The schools are saying if your backpack isn't clear,
you cannot bring it to school. So I would suggest, and the price on tennis shoes and stuff, staying up with the fad is going to make you bankrupt, because I've been looking at the price of shoes lately. So for all the men out there who are heading toward the stores to get their kids school supplies, my suggestion is you check your school before you go out and spend all this money. I know, Frank, have you started shopping for school supplies yet? Is it still like it used to be? Because I do know that there's this big thing about help teachers buy supplies. Is the list of things that kids need average? I mean, are they still buying the same things, Crayolas and pencils and those kinds of things, or has it kind of doubled up? Because I know with new technology, kids need computers and all those kinds of things. Are you seeing, you and you, Don, and Bruce, are you seeing a lot of electronics and things on kids' school supply list these days?
I wouldn't say a lot, but some important ones, yeah. Yes, sir.
So it's pretty expensive now to buy school supplies, right? Because your uniforms cost a lot of money too, right?
Uniforms?
Well, a lot of schools have gone to uniforms.
I would say it kind of compensates when it comes to, like, let's say buying paper and notebooks and pencils. When you're buying a tablet, like, pretty much I think they want to have a tablet in every home to where the child's doing homework on a tablet online. So it kind of, I think it's more eco-friendly, and it compensates a little bit more. And it's, I mean, yes, you probably, you know, have to charge it up and stuff like that, but I think that's a lot better. That's a better situation, and the parents can actually monitor a lot better with all these heightened IT devices.
So, I mean, is that part of the new school list? Tablets?
And I've heard of nonprofit organizations giving away tablets and stuff like that for kids down in Miami.
And my grandkids are getting a brand new school built, and, man, they are wiring that up like nobody's business for IT and everything else you can think of.
Yeah.
Wow. So
yeah, the kids. I can tell you that, you know, I've got the 2, 3. At 2 years old, they know how to operate a tablet real well. Okay, they can help you. Okay, at 2 years old. So all these children now that are 2 and 1.5, etc., they're in their backpacks. They have some type of tablet instrument in their backpacks, in there. So they're looking at their own shows through YouTube and other sources. Just like we look at how to repair a car, they look at all the shows they want to look at, which, by the way, end up being different than the ones, the cartoons that we put on television, for what I've observed.
Well,
what
I saw this today, actually, is that the schools that have lots of snow days, the schools are contemplating on, instead of giving kids off on snow days, that the teachers will now be online, teaching online, and that way they won't have to use snow days. That if you have to stay home, you still got to be online with the internet.
What happens if you lose power and you have no Wi-Fi?
I guess they get some compensation for that, but I do know that that is a discussion that's going to go on in farther up north, that they're talking about, you know, less snow days. But when they have a snow day, the teacher has to be online. And you're right.
Yeah,
a lot of those snow days, there's no power.
Ron, if you call in a snow day, I'm going to be a little suspicious.
and if you call in Bruce a hurricane day, I'll be suspicious.
Yeah, that's right. Touché. Absolutely. And if we both
for those
call
of you
in
that
both,
are listening, Ron lives in Miami, so that's why
there's lots of snow in Miami, and not the natural
we get a lot of big winds up here.
Let's talk about next week. Stand your ground.
Okay, that's a great
idea.
I got about a minute left.
I wanted to break that up.
A minute left on the show, so go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Frank.
That's a good idea, Frank.
Yeah, I think we ought to talk about that next week, David. We should have that kind of like on close to the top of the list about stand your ground in Florida.
Okay. Actually, Ron talked about that before we got on the air, and I should have brought that up earlier, but we will talk about it next week for sure. We got about 15 seconds left, so I want to thank everybody for being on. Tell me, come back next week. We'll even have music. But I want to say that we enjoyed you. Enjoy the weather, those of you that can. And when you go out to go shopping, make sure you get your list from your school before you go out there and spend all that money. All right, you guys have a great week. Thanks for hanging in with me. I will talk to you again next week.
You guys
take care, everyone.
Okay, goodbye.
Take care.
Take care.
Take care.
God bless.
Thanks. Bye-bye.